Today's Shir is Masechta Nida Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis, two lines from the bottom, Meme Raglav Menolan. We had learnt in the Braisa, in the previous Daf, that the Braisa says that there were three liquids that have a very high level of Tumah. The actual Zoiv, the Roik, and the Mei Reglaim of a Zoiv or a Nida. So the Tarak Daisha explicitly speaks about the Zoiv. The Tarak Daisha explicitly speaks about the Roik. The Torah, however, does not explicitly speak about the Mei Reglaim. And therefore begins our Gemara, Mei Raglav Menolan. From where do we know that the Mei Reglaim also have this high level of Tumah? Answers the Gemara. The Tanya, Zoiv Tamei V'Zois. The Pasuk says, So from the extra Vav, we learn that the urine also has this Tumah. Ask the Gemara, V'loy dinhu. Why do we need a special pasuk, asked the Gemara, to teach us this din? Couldn't we come to this point logically? Omar roik, habam makum tahara. If, as we just said, the Torah says explicitly that the roik, the saliva of a zav, is tamei, even though it comes out of a makum tahar, the mouth, yet the Torah says that it's tamei, mei reglayim, the meragl of the urine, habon, mimokum tamei, that come from a non-clean place, from the oma, which is the place from which the zoiv liquid normally comes out of the body. Ein adin, isn't it certainly that it ought to be shared to meim? Says the Gemara, the reason we can't come to this conclusion logically, because dam hayot mipi alma yochiach, that we learned that the dam that comes out of the Pia Amma, that means even though there's dam coming out together with the Zav, the Davin that comes from that Mokum of the Amma is not Tamei, even though Shabon Mokum Tamei, even though it comes from the Amma, which is where the Zav normally comes from, and yet it's Tahor, Af Ata Alta Tamal Zeh, therefore we would not have, therefore we would not automatically know that the halacha of the Mei Reglayim should be Tamei, Shafapi, Shabbat Makam Tumah, and therefore even though it comes from Makam Tumah, we can't automatically say, we could say on the contrary, Shafapi, Shabbat Makam Tumah, that even though it comes from Makam Tumah, Yatar, it ought to be Tahar. That's why in order to learn that it is indeed Tamei, Tamalayim, where the Torah Daisha says, Zoiv Tamei V'Zoiv, to explicitly teach us the Rabbis Mei Reglayim L'Tumah, that the Mei Reglayim are Tamei. But the Gemara assumed, without any question, that the Dam Hayotzei, that the Dam that comes out from the Pia Omo, is Tahor. Asked the Gemara, and indeed, from where do we know the Dam Hayotzei M'Pi Ha'Omo Menolon the Tahor, the Tanya, because learns the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Yochel yei dam hayos mepiv on pia amma tamein. We can make an argument that the dam that comes out of his mouth or from the amma is tamei, tameloimer, zoif tameihu, hu tamei, only it is tamei, vein dam hayos mepiv on pia amma. Mouth, blood that comes out from his mouth or from the amma are not tamei, elatar, they are considered Tahor. However, the Mefarshim point out that even though we're saying that the dam that comes out of the person's mouth is Tahor, it's only Tahor when it comes out, when it's not choices, when it's not dripping out. But if there's blood, Rahman Tzlan, dripping out of the Zav's mouth, then the person, then that dam would be Tamei. Because as we've learned many times, the Efshah L'Tzuchei Dam B'Loi Roik. There's certainly roik mixed into that dam, And certainly since there's roik mixed into that dam, we have to assume that that dam is therefore tame. Although the Mefarshim do make a very interesting observation. The dam that comes out of the Meya Af that we spoke about in Mishnah, the liquid that comes out of a person's nose, we learned is always tame. And the reason that the Meya Af are always tame is because there's certainly saliva mixed in with that Meya Af. So the Mefarshim makes a very interesting observation that by Meya Af, the Mishnah doesn't differentiate. The Mishnah says that the Meya Af are always tummy. And the reason that Halacha is that way is because there's always going to be mixed into the Meya Af this right that would make the tummy. However, when we speak about the dam that comes out of a person's mouth, as we just said, there's going to be a difference if it's choices or it's not choices. Only when it's not choices, when it doesn't come out with a strong force, is the halacha that it's not tamei. And therefore, the Mishnah doesn't just speak about this halacha about dam that comes out of the mouth, because as we just explained, there's a difference how it came out, and that would make a difference if we assume that there's roik or not. Ask the Gemara, so what we've had here is a pasuk that we began the shiur with, of the zois, that comes to add that there's another liquid that's tamei, and the pasuk that we just read, of zoivoi, that comes to exclude. Ask the Gemara, ve'epachano, why don't we just say the opposite? And why don't we say that the dam that comes out of the mouth or that comes out of the oma is tamei, and on the other hand, we'll say that the mei reglayim, that the urine, is not tamei. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Mishnah Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Dumi deroy, because we use saliva as the model. Ma roik shemis agav yotzei, first it collects in the body, and then it comes out of the body. That is the example of a fluid that's tamei. Af ko shemis agav yotzei, only what first collects and then goes out is included. Yotzadam, to exclude dam, shein misagav yotzei, that it doesn't first collect in the body before it comes out, and therefore, since it's not similar to roik, that's why it's a better match. Meir glayim is a better match to roik than dam is. Ask the Gemara, v'reicholav shebi'isha, what about the milk that a woman is carrying, shemis agav yotzei, that also first collects and then goes out of the body. Vamamar cholav shebi'isha metame tumas mashkin, that the tuma, it has only tumas mashkin. Tumas mashkinin avloi tuma chamura, the tuma chamura of the mayonai shalzov doesn't apply to the mother's milk. But now the question is, why not? If we're saying that it has to be similar to the roik, doesn't the mother's milk also have that similarity that it first collects in the body? Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Mishnah Ben Yochai, Dom Yidroik. Again, we use roik as the model. Ma roik misagav yotzei. The characteristic of saliva is that first it collects, and then if it's not expelled from the body, the chayz v'nivla, it gets reabsorbed into the body. Af kol misagav v'yotzei v'chayz v'nivla, only something that first collects and then gets reabsorbed in the body has the characteristic of roik, and therefore will be compared to roik. Yotze dam she'enem agav yotze, that wouldn't include blood, because blood doesn't first collect. Yotze cholav she'be'isha, and it also comes to exclude the milk. She'af api she'mis agav yotze, that even though it does first collect in the woman's body, ein achayz v'nivla, doesn't get reabsorbed if it's not expelled from the body, and therefore it's not really similar to roik. It's interesting to point out that the Mefarshim that I saw tshuva from Yitzhak Zilberstein, that he speaks here about the Meraglayim and the characteristic of the Meraglayim, particularly our Gemara has now taught us that the Meraglayim is a that it first collects in the body before they're actually expelled from the body. However, so the question he was asked is that there was a person, we know that a person who's supposed to use the bathroom is not supposed to hold back. Not only is he not supposed to hold back, but he's not supposed to daven until he actually uses the bathroom. One is not allowed to daven in such a way. It's the issue about the shaksu. So not a question that the Paiskim discuss is that how do we look at what would be the halacha if a person has this problem that he has to use the bathroom on a fairly regular basis, and the doctors told him that one of the ways he could, perhaps, what he should do is he should not go to the bathroom every time he needs to go. He should try to hold back. What would be the halacha on such a person? Should he, can he daven? Because he really does need to use the bathroom. So the Paiskim, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein quotes many number of Paiskim who say that the issa to daven when one must use the bathroom is only in a situation where the halacha requires him to use the bathroom and not daven. But if it was a situation where the halacha doesn't require him to use the bathroom because he has to follow his doctor's orders and his doctor told him to go to the bathroom under these circumstances, such a person, he says, does not have to go to the bathroom to be able to daven, and he could daven anyway. Continues the Gemara. Ask the Gemara now, V'neilif Mezavai. But if this is the case, why don't we learn from Zav, Ma Zav, Shene Yoitz, Misagav Yoitz, Metame, Afkol. So we said at the beginning of our shiur today that Zav is one of the liquids that gives off tumah. And we're saying that whatever is similar to one of those liquids is tumah. So the Gemara's question now is that the zoif should be tumah because the zoif, so we should say that it's, as long as it's comparable to zoif, it should give off tumah. So there's a number of ways that I sort of mefarshim try to understand what the Gemara is asking. The machlokes is actually Chochmas Betzalel and the Maram. The Maram says, the Chochmas Betzalel says that the Gemara's question is regarding the Zoif that comes out of the body of the Gemara's question here is regarding the liquid, the dam, that comes out of the Zoif's mouth, which should be similar to the Zoif that comes out of the Zoif's, just like the Zoif that comes out of the Zov's Oma, which is a place of Tumah, should be Tameh. So too the blood that comes out of the Oma should be Tameh. So according to the Chacham Betzalel, the Gemara's question is strictly on the blood that's coming out of the Oma of the Zov. According to other Mefarshim, the Gemara's question is not regarding the Maram. The Gemara's question is going back to the Epechana. Yes, if we use the Reich as the model, we'll have this point. But the Gemara's question is, why use the Reich as the model? Why not use the Zoiv as the model? And if Zoiv is the model, then both the dam that comes out of the Oma and the dam that comes out of the mouth would be Tameh, because it has the same characteristic as the Zoiv that doesn't collect first. Amarava, Mizoiva, Lekulameimus. You can't use Zoiv as the model. She can go into Mlacherim. Zoiv has this Chumrah that it causes other things to be Tameh. So it's a very, that's what makes the person into a Zov. So we can't use Zoiv as the model. What is used as the model is the Reich, which has the characteristic that we just said, that's Misago, that it is, collects, but its Chayz V'Nivla gets reabsorbed into the person's body. The Sheretz, we learned in the Mishnah that the Sheretz also has this characteristic that it's metame, but the Gemara, we learned as well that it's only metame when it's flach, and it's not metame when it's yavish. Omer shlokish, comments for shlokish, sheretz shiyavish, if you have a sheretz that got dried up, the shoulder kayamis, but its body, its shape is still intact, it's tame. Machlokes rishonim, how to learn what shildai kayemis mean. Some rishonim learn that shildai kayemis means that the entire shape of the sheretz is still intact. There are other rishonim that learn shildai kayemis means that the skeleton, as long as you have the skeleton of the sheretz, then it's tamei. You don't need to have the entire any more of it. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that a sheretz that's yavesh is tamei? Haven't we just quoted our Mishnah v'anantanan that the Mishnah said explicitly metamen lachin ve metamen yaveshim, that the only metamen when they're moist, not when they're dry? Answers the Gemara, Amar zera lekasha, haba kulan am miktsasim. It matters if you have the whole sheretz or just part of the sheretz. The Tanya Amar Yitzchak Barabisna Amar Shim ben Yochai. Bohem, the Torah says regarding the shrotzim, Ela tameim lachem b'chol sheretz kol anegei behem b'moitzam yitma ara'arif. So behem seems to indicate yoch b'kulam, that only if you have a whole sheretz is it tamei. Kam loim mehem. But there's another pasuk that says v'chol ha'shiyip alahem mehem b'moitzam yitma. Imahem. So we have that pasuk. It seems to indicate yochel b'ed mitzosin, that even if you have part of the sheretz there, it's tamei. Hok tamalayim behem, that you need the whole sheretz. So hok heitzad, how do we reconcile these two seemingly contradictory psukim? Kambalach, if it's still moist, you don't have to have the whole sheretz. Kambiyavish, but if it's dry, then you have, in order for it to give off tumah, it has to be whole. You have to have the whole sheretz. Amar Rava, comments to Gemara, Rava said, Hani zuvge de mechuza. They used to find these zuge, which is a form of a frog, which is one of the minor shrotzim, one of the eight shrotzim, which is tamei. The mechuza, in mechuza kishogun kayemes, even when their shape was whole, even if they were dry, they were tamei. So Farshim asked, what is Rava coming to teach us that we haven't learned from Reish Lakish? Because Rava is essentially saying the exact same thing as Reish Lakish, that if you have a whole sheretz, then it's tamei. What is the Gemara adding with it? So some want to say that the Gemara is coming to show us that this was followed la'aloch l'maisa, that it was actually practiced this way. Or along the same lines, we could say, what the Gemara is coming to teach us is that Rava concurs with Reish Lakish. But I saw a very nice pshat from the Sefer Nezer HaKodesh. He says that actually this Gemara that we just learned, that the Gemara has this question, the Mehem and Bohem, and what is the pasuk of Mehem and Bohem come to teach us? He says the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga discusses this pasuk, and he says that the Gemara Masechta Chagiga teaches us that this pasuk is to teach us the shear of a tumah sheretz. That we learned that the shear of the tumah sheretz, the amount of the tumah of a sheretz, is bekadash. So he says the Rava actually had a very significant question that he was trying to address. On one hand, the pasuk, we learning that the Gemara is teaching us that we learn from this pasuk the shear of a sheretz. On the other hand, we're saying our Gemara is teaching us that this pasuk is coming to teach us that a whole sheretz, even when it's dry, is still tamei. So now, what is the pasuk coming really to teach us? So he says as follows: we know that the halacha is, we've spoken about this halacha many times, we will speak about it today again in Mitzvah Shem, that the halacha is Safik Tamei B'Rishus HaYochid is Tamei, Safik Tamei B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahor. So now Rav said as follows: if indeed we have a question what to use this pasuk for, so if a dry out whole sheretz was found in the street, as the Gemara speaks about, Mechuzah, the streets of Mechuzah, we ought to be lenient, because it's a suffix tamei, because maybe the pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha of the sheer adash of a sheretz, not to teach us that when you have a whole sheretz, it's dry, the halacha ought to be that it's still tamei, and therefore when we find the sheretz in this form, the Mechuzah, on the streets of Mechuzah, we ought to be lenient with a suffix tamei. Teaches us Rava no, that even though this dried whole sheretz was found on the street, it's tamei. Because the real purpose of the pasuk of Bohem and Mayhem, as we just learned and we'll learn in a moment again, is to teach us the halacha that a sheretz, even though it's only normally tamei when it's moist, if it's whole, it's tamei even when it's dry. And it's not a suffix. That is what the pasuk is teaching us. And therefore, if such a sheretz was found, even the Mechuzah on the streets of Rishus HaRabim, it will be tamei. I, the Gemara Masechta Chagiga, that says that pasuk is coming to teach us the shear of an adasha, that pasuk is there, says the Nezer HaKadosh, only as an asmachta. A similar ruling. Vamrish Lakish, sheretz shenisraf. If a sheretz got burnt, v'shil lekayemus, but it's still whole, it's tamei. So the Farshim asks, that this halacha that Rish Lakish is teaching us now about a sheretz shenisraf, isn't it the identical halacha to the sheretz shiyovesh b'shul dekayemus? So why does the Gemara have Rish Lakish, the statement of Rish Lakish divided into two separate statements with two separate pieces of Gemara? So I saw a number of terutzim in the Mefarshim to this question. Some Mefarshim suggest because Rish Lakish said this din two times separately, and the Gemara want to quote it the way Rish Lakish said it. Some of Farshim learn just the opposite. That actually Rish Lakish, given that he learns the halacha, as we'll see from the same pasuk, says this halacha twice. Said this halacha once. But the Gemara is questioning this halacha from two different braises. And therefore, because there are two different questions that are being posed, the Gemara separated Rish Lakish's statement into two separate Gemaras. The Rosh has a whole different approach. He says, the way to understand the Gemara is that if we only had the first Gemara of Sheretz Shiyovesh, we would think that only when the Sheretz got dried up, but it's not as significant as when it is burnt, that's when the Halacha is that if Shildoi Kayemis, that if it's still intact, it's Tamei. But in a situation where it got burnt, even if it's Shildoi Kayemis, even if it's still intact, but given that it got completely burnt, it should not be Tamei. So our Gemara teaches us that not only when it's Yovesh and it's Shildoi Kayemis is a Tamei, but even when it's Nisraf, if it's Shildoi Kayemis, it's Tamei. The question is, however, he asks, maybe not. Maybe we should say that the pasuk that we just learned, that we'll learn again, that teaches us indeed that the halacha is that when it's shildoi kayemus is tamei, is only referring to a situation where it's yovesh, not when it's nisraf. So he says that the Torah, that the fact that Rish Lakish taught this halacha, and the Torah doesn't separate these two dinim, teaches us that they should be treated the same way, even though an argument can be made the other way. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Nimtza Sheretz Sorof Agave Azesim, if there's a burnt sheretz on top of olives, the Kematlis HaHumama, there was a piece of material that became Tamei from a Zov, and then it got burnt, and it was found on top of the olives, Tahirin, the olives are still Tor. Shekolat Tumas Meshas Mitziyosin. We look at them at the time that we found it. And now we found it burnt, and as we learned, a sheretz that's burnt, or a piece of material that's burnt, doesn't give off tumah. We need not be concerned that they were put on top of the olives before they were burnt. But here it clearly indicates that when they're burnt, they don't give off tumah. Says the Gemara, the same teretz. Amar Zeh Lo Kasha, Habakula, if they're intact, then they give off tumah, even when they're burnt. Hav Miktsasin, if they're not intact and they're burnt, they don't give off tuma. The Tanya, as we just learned, Amar Yitzchak Bar Bisna B'Shem Rav Shimon Yochai. Behen Yoch B'Kulam, only when you have the whole sheretz does it give off tuma. Tamloy Mehem, even if you have part of it. I Mehem Yoch Miktsasin, even part of it should give off tuma. Tamloy Behem. So again, Hakeitzat. How do we reconcile these two contradictory psukim? Kam Sarif, when they're burnt, in order to give off tumma, they have to be intact. Kam B'she'en Sarif, they give off tumma even when they're not intact. Matamim Lachim, we learned in the Mishnah that there are a number of liquids that only give off tumma when they are moist. Sof, Tiksif, because the pasuk says rar basaroi, when they're flowing. Then we spoke about the keichoi nioi veroikoi, that they also only give off tumma when they're moist. The ksiv kiyaru kazof, the Torah uses the word kiyaru kazof, it has to be ke'en roik, like the roik, which is moist. Sheretz, a sheretz that we've been learning, gives off tumma only when it's moist. For said the gemara b'maisam amarachmana, it has to be ke'en misa, like they look when they die, and at the moment of death they are moist. Shifa zera only gives off tumma when it's moist, because the Torah says, because it has to be shifa zera, the Torah calls it shifa zera, it has to be haroya lazuria, it could fertilize, and when it's dry it no longer has that ability. Nevela, and the vegetable doesn't give off tumma when it's dry. The ksiv kiyomus, there too, it has to be kemisa, how it looks when it dies, and when it dies, it looks, it's moist, not dried out. But the Mishnah taught us, there's a test that can be done to see if it's really considered completely dried out. Im yichayim lahashris, if they could be soaked and get back to moisture, being moist again, then they would give off tumma even though they've been dried. The test that the Mishnah said that we do to determine this is by soaking them in pashrim, in warm water, that we said that the temperature of the warm water is the temperature of saliva. Ask the Gemara, when we say that they're soaked in lukewarm water, what does that mean? Chilas of a cipher pashrim, does it mean that we soak it for 24 hours in lukewarm water? We know that if you're going to put something in warm water, that warm water will ultimately cool off. So here when we're saying that we're soaking it for 24 hours, doesn't mean we have to soak it in warm water, that the water should be warm for the whole 24 hours. Adima chilas of afgishen cipher. As long as you started the soaking procedure in warm water, even though ultimately that water cools off, you don't have to change the water, you don't have to make sure that the water is constantly warm. As long as it was started off warm, and that'll be enough. And if, and obviously the warmer the water, the more likely it is to reconstitute and moisten the sheretz. So this opinion that says that you don't have to have warm water throughout actually represents a more lenient opinion. Toshma. So the Gemara brings right from the following Braisa. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Kama Shirosim B'Poshrim, Yehuda Ben Nekusa Omer Me'es La'es, Tchilosa, even though it began in warm water, Apish Ein Soifoi, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tzrichan Shirai Poshrim Me'es La'es. So actually this question is a Machloikis Tanon. Rav Yossi Omer, we learned in the Mishnah, B'sar HaMe'es, that the Psar mace that dries up is no longer metame. Amishmu, tar melatame bekazayas, it doesn't give off the tumas kazayas, the tumma that a kazayas of the Psar mace gives off doesn't apply once it's dried up. Ab metame tumas rekiv, as we've learned previously, there's a special tumma that the Torah speaks about called tumas rekiv, that means if you have the dust of a decomposed mace, as we've learned, it has to be pure dust, nothing else mixed in. But if you have such a situation, the halacha is that it's metame, and there obviously even if it's dry. And so too do we didn't learn the brisa. Rav Yosef Omer, b'sar hamesh yovish, v'eni yochel la'ashros laksus k'mosha hayo, it can no longer come back to what it was. Tomer tam b'gazayis, it doesn't give off the tumor of a gazayis of a mace. However, ava matama tumas rekev, it does give off tumas rekev. Question that I saw that the Michas Yitzchak discusses. Here we learned that if it's dried, or certainly we learned in the previous piece of Gemara that if it's burnt, it doesn't give off tumah anymore. The question is, may a kohen visit Rachman Slan, a crematoria, where we know our Jewish brothers and sisters were burnt? So it's completely burnt. Is that going to have the din of tumah? Or another question that the Pais can discuss is, we know that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, turned our brothers and sisters, used the bodies of our brothers and sisters or parts of their bodies for making soap. The chalav of their bodies was used to make soap. And there too the question is, could a kohen visit a museum that has that soap? He L'chatchila says that a kohen should avoid these types of shaylos. We know the halacha is, as we mentioned a few moments ago, Sofek Tameh B'Shus HaYochid is Tameh. So therefore tells us the Mishnah, HaSheretz Shenimtza B'Mavi, if a Sheretz is found in a Mavi, and we don't know when that Sheretz came to the Mavi, the halacha is Metamel Mafreya. Retroactively, we have to say that everything in the Mavi, and that the mava is tamei, because it's a suffix tamei rishus hayochid, at shiomer, until we could know for certain, but b'daktis hamavi hazeveloi b'sheretz, that we could go back to a time where a person could definitively say that there was no sheretz in this mava. Oy at shas kibud, or the last time this mava was swept out, from that point, that at that point we could assume, as we'll soon see, discussing the Gemara, that there was no sheretz there. The Kain Kesem Shenitza B'Chalot, as we've been discussing, Ksamim, and that Kesem is Metameh, says the Mishnah that if a Kesem is found on a garment, Metameh Mafreya, everything is Tameh retroactively, at Shiomer, until one could certainly say, B'daktis Chalot Hazev Loyei B'Kesem, I inspected this garment and it didn't have a Kesem on it, or I just keep this the last time the garment was washed, and we can know that there was no kesem at that point. Umetame, the Mishnah says that the sheretz and the kesem are metame bein lach ubein yovish. So of course all the mefarshim ask that we just quoted them. We learned the Gemara that the pasuk teaches us that a sheretz is not metame when it's yovish. So how does our Mishnah teach us umetame bein lach ubein yovish? So the easiest answer is to say that, as we learned in the previous Gemara, the Reish Lakish taught us that even a Sheretz Hayavish, if it's Shildoi Kayemes, the halacha is that it's Metame. And that's the Sheretz that's being referred to in this Mishnah. The problem with that pshat, point out the Mefarshim, is if that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us here, so Reish Lakish's point is actually an explicit Mishnah. So what is Reish Lakish teaching us that isn't actually an explicit Mishnah? And therefore, they explain that the sheretz that's being discussed here, that's Yavish, is talking about the sheretz that's Yavish, but it could be reconstituted through moisture, the case that we've been discussing, by soaking it in this poshrim water, and that's what the Mishnah means. But Shimon Omer HaYavish, if it's dry, metamal mafreya. It's metama retroactively until the last time this mavui was swept or the last time this garment was washed. But what about halach? If you have a moist sheretz or you have a moist kestem, en metama al ad shosh yochel yislach. The fact that it's moist indicates that it's somewhat fresh. So even though this mavui hasn't been swept for a while, or even though this garment hasn't been washed for a while, we still should take a lenient approach, says Reb Shimon, because why is it still moist? So there's a very big machlokes for Shonim, how to learn Peshat in the Mishnah. We learned the Mishnah, like Rashi explains the Mishnah, that the Mishnah here is speaking both by a Sheretz and by a Kesem, and as a machlokes, the Tanakam and Reb Shimon, even if it, when it was found moist, what is the halacha? The Tanakama will still take the opinion that we go back to the Shas Kibbutz or Shas Kibud, and if Shimon makes the distinction that we just learned, that if it's moist, we only go back to the time that it could still be, for which it could be moist. The Meiri, however, learns that there is no machloikis Tanakama of Shimon, and they're each one discussing something else. The Tanakama is speaking about a kesem, and he says that even if the kesem was found moist, and it's quite a while since it was last washed, and therefore, if we go, it couldn't have been moist for so long. Still, by kesem, we could assume that it got, that it was there from before, it got wet, and then it was moist, and then dry, and then moist again. However, Rav Shimon is speaking about, Rav Shimon agrees to that halacha. Rav Shimon, however, is speaking about a sheretz. Only by a sheretz that is found whole, that's when we, that when it's found whole, it's metame, when it's dry. But if it's moist, it's not metamel mafreya, only until the time that it could have still remained moist. And that, says the Meiri, the Tanakama could agree to as well. So they're not really speaking about different issues. Ibaru, ad shas kibud chaskosay bodet, oidilma chaskosay mistabit. So the Mara's question, as the Mepharshim explained, is what does kibud mean? That the Mishnah says that when we find a sheretz, we have to be metame the mavi retroactively until the last time was swept. Does that mean that we assume that, that doesn't mean because when it's swept, when a person sweeps the mavi, he checks? Or does it mean that the actual sweeping creates that it should be, that it should take away any sheretz? And why would be the nafkamina? Immediately explains the Gemara, nafkamina is covered, but a person says, I swept, but I didn't check. If we say that, that we assume that when a person sweeps, he checks, this person hasn't checked, so we can't rely on his sweeping. If, however, we say that as soon as it's swept, we could be sure that it's fine, it was swept, and that should be good enough to give this mavui a cheskes tara. Inami, another nafkamina, says the Gemara, would be the shtakit the guma, if it was found in a hole. Yamrit, cheskos abodik, if we say that the reason we give it a cheskes tara from the last time it was swept is because the person examines it when he sweeps, man the bodik. The person that sweep checks everywhere, even in the holes. But if we're saying it's the sweeping that creates the cheskes tahara, people don't sweep out the holes. And the Gemara continues. V'kena kesem. A similar question could be spoken about the kesem, but because we said that we find a kesem, we are metama achas kibus. Achas kibus cheskos abodik, adilma cheskos miskabis. Again, what does the washing of a garment do? Does it mean that when you wash, you check it? Does it mean that the actual washing cleans it? And as Baruch Lener helps us understand the Gemara, he says that as we learned in the Mishnah, the basis of our Mishnah, we said, was based on the famous halacha of Sofik Tomei Bershus HaYachid is Tomei. But the source for that halacha of Sofik Tomei Bershus HaYachid Tomei is from Saita. But Saita, we only look at the moment of now when we have this woman and we don't know how to treat her. We don't necessarily aren't judging on things that happened a while ago. And that's why the Gemara's question is, how to understand the Chazakas of our Mishnah. And again, the Gemara says, L'mayin Nafkamina. The Nafkamina will be a situation with Kibbutz Loy Bodak. With the Dhamma Kibbutz Loy Bodak. The person says, I washed the garment, but I wasn't Bodak it. Imam Rechazkos Bodak, we say that during washing, a person checks. Here, Haloy Bodak. The person clearly says he didn't check it. Yeah, Rechazkos Miskabis, but if we say that it's based on the actual cleaning that takes away any Ksavim, Hamiskabis, this garment was washed. It was found like on a hem or in a corner of the garment. Whoever checks his garments, checks all of it. Every corner of it. But we say it's just based on the washing. The citra doesn't normally get that well washed out. My, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara Toshma, the Tanya Amar Ameya. Neima Amru, what did Chazal teach us? Hasheret Shemens Mavui, Metamel Mafreya. The Hasheret is found in the Mavui, it's retroactively Tomei, Atsher Vedaktis Hamavui Loya Bosheret, Oyachas Kibus, Neshecheskus Neisra, Boitkim Muvaseim Bishas Budeyev. They check the floor when they sweep it out. Vimla Botku, and if they didn't check it when they swept it, Hefsidlum Mafreya, then it comes Tomei even more retroactively. Similarly, says Rameya, Neima Amr Kesu Shinutz B'chaluk Metamel Mafreya, Achi Yor B'dakti Yischaluk V'loi B'kesem, until the person could say he checked and there was no kesem, Oya Chas Kibis, Neshchesk B'nayisro, Boit B'tzchulusayim, B'shas K'lusayim, V'loi B'atkev Sidl Mafreya. So Rameya clearly teaches us that the halacha is that they were based on checking. And people don't check, and if you didn't check, you can't rely on it. And because of this, the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch tells us it makes a difference who washed the garment. Because if we're saying that the garment, it's not just the washing that is what we're relying on. We're relying on the washing and the examination during the washing. So only somebody who has nemonis could therefore be trusted. A person who halachically has no nemonis, that person's washing cannot be relied on. Rav Acha says, Tachzav Techapsena. Rav Acha is addressing a situation where we have this garment with the kesem, and he's trying to teach us what another way we could rely on knowing when the kesem came. Im nitcha mirosoi, if by washing it a second time the kesem fades even more, B'yidua Shalach HaKibus. That shows us that the stain came after laundry. Because if it would have come before the laundry, then the laundry should have taken it out. Vimlav, but if it doesn't fade, B'yidua Shalach HaKibus, that's a proof that this kesem came before the kibus, and therefore even the taharas that were there before the kibbutz would be tamei. Because we see that the laundering doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi makes a different point. He says there's a difference between a kesem before or after the kibbutz. Shazam Magder, kesem that's there before, after the laundering is absorbed into the material. Zem Magler, kesem that's there before the laundry is like an upper layer, it's not really absorbed. Shmamina, well, we see from here that it's the examination during the cleaning that we rely on. Shmamina. There's a machlokes rishonim. If these three opinions that we just learned in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, in the Gemara, Rameyer, Rav Acha, and Rebbe actually disagree with each other, or they complement each other and give us different ways of determining the status of this kesem. actually this Gemara is discussed la'aloch l'maisa. Because here we see that if something is checked, we can rely on that it's clean. Because the Paiskim discuss that we know that the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that the night of Erev Pesach, we have to do Bedikas Chametz. And we look in the Gemara Masechta Pesachim and we look in the Shulchan Aruch, very clear that the Bedika has to be done very thoroughly, B'churin and B'sedotim, all nooks and crannies. Yet we know that many people aren't so careful to do such a thorough Bedika. Actually, if we were to do such a thorough Bedika on our homes, some specifically if people have larger homes and larger apartments, it would take many, many hours, that most people, their Bedikas Chametz, don't take that long. And the question is, if that's what the Shulchan Aruch requires, why don't we indeed do such a thorough Bedikas Chametz? The answer is, suggests the Paiskim, our Gemara. Because we know that in most homes, the house is very well cleaned out before we approach Bedikas Chametz. But it's not just cleaned when we approach Bedikas Chametz. We actually examine and make sure that it's clean. And our Gemara is saying that once something is clean, and if during the cleaning you're checking that it is indeed clean, it's considered clean. And therefore, when we approach Bedikas Chametz at night, we don't have to be so concerned because it was obviously properly clean, and there's no concern of chametz being there. Up to the point that the Paiskim suggests that that's why many people have the minig that they put out 10 pieces of bread before they do Bedikas Chametz. Because if, as we just explained, the whole house has been cleaned and properly examined that there is no chametz in the house, then there would be no point in doing the Bedikas Chametz, and it may even be a question of a bracha or batala. That's why we put out the 10 pieces of bread that we know for sure there is chametz in the house. Says the Mishnah, Kolak some of my boy Merekim Tahirim, all some that come on garments that come from Rekim are tar, because we could assume that they come from Nochrim who don't have Tumas Nida. Rabbi Huda says that Tamei, Neshim Gairim Batai, because the people of Rekim are Gairim and they don't know the halacha are about of Ksumim, to put away the Ksumim. Habayim and Eved Kachavim, but Ksumim that come from Eved Kachavim and Tahirim, Bnei Yisrael ben Kutim, if they come from a town, from Jews or from Kutim, Remeir and Metamei, Chachamim and Metarim, Bnei Shalai Nechka Ksumayim, both Yisrael and Kutim, we need not be concerned about the Ksumim, because if there was really a question that's Tamei, they would have concealed it. Says the Gemara, Kapasik B'Tamei. The Mishnah made a rule that anything that comes from Akum, any Ksum that comes from Akum at all, which means Afil Matamid. Even from Tamid, we assume that the Ksum from Tamid come from Akum. Omer Rav Yochanan, Zoy Samaris, the Kavun Geir Matamid, which would seem to indicate that we could take Geir from Tamid. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Akum that has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is a mamzer. Now, if they were mamzerim, they're Jewish, but they are mamzerim and they're not allowed to be brought into Klal Yisrael. So, if the halacha were that we are concerned with this concern, then we shouldn't be able to take Geirim from Talmud because they may be Mamzerim and we will be bringing Mamzerim into Klal Yisrael. The fact that we're not concerned and we treat them like Nochrim is a proof that we could take Geirim from Talmud and we're not concerned that they are Mamzerim. Amy, ask the Gemara, is that true? For Rav Yochanan, the Sabi, the Amri, Tavayu, Eima Kamu Geirim, that we don't take Geirim from Tamil because we assume that they're Mamzerim, because were afraid that they are the offspring of Nachrim, who had relations with Jewish girls. V'chi teimah, zois. And if they'll say that our Mishnah holds that way, but Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with our Mishnah, says the Gemara, that's not a tenable approach, because we have Rabbi Yochanan teaching us throughout Shas that we always follow a Stam Mishnah, and our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Says the Gemara, believe Rabbi Yochanan's machlokes, what Rabbi Yochanan actually said. The Maru said that Rabbi Yochanan said that we can't accept Gerim from Talmud will not agree with the Amayru who says that Rabbi Yochanan always paskins like a Stam Mishnah. And he's going to say that Rabbi Yochanan is not obligated to follow a Stam Mishnah, and therefore, even though our Stam Mishnah seems to indicate that we can accept Gerim from Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan is not obligated to follow the Stam Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, if the Kesson came from Gut Yisrael Makutim, Remeir says that the Tomei, the Chomahol, the Tohar. Rabbanan, Id Yisrael, Matari, the Mamatamu, if they say that the Son of Yisrael are Tohar, who do they say that the Tomei, that the Mishnah is saying that in this case, that the Tohar, it seems to seem, if they're saying that the Yisrael is Matamei, so who's Ksamim did Chazal teach us, as we're going to learn later in the Mishnah, that they said are Tamei? Answer the Gemara, Surah Masrachatan. Ben Yisrael, Tamei. If the Kesem came from Yisrael, from a place where Jews live, it's Tamei. Ben Akutim. If it comes from a place where Kutim live, remain Matamei, because he holds Kutim Geri Emesain, and therefore the Ksum are considered the Ksum of Jews, Chum Matarim, the Kutim Geri Emesain. Ask the Gemara, what if that's Pshat in our Mishnah, when we speak about the Kutim, because they're considered Geri Erais, that they're not considered Jewish, then, so why does the Mishnah use the words, Shloi Nechstu Al Kismayim? The Mishnah should have said Geri Erais, by the way, that they're not Jewish, and since they're not Jewish, as we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Ksumim of a non-Jew is not a consideration. El said the Marachi comment. The Ben Yisrael, Ben Kutim, Tumayim, the Ksumim that come better from Jews or from Kutim Atamei, the Kutim Geri and the same. Hanim Tsoam Be'ar Yisrael, what are found in Jewish cities, are Tor. So Nechstu Akismayim, Jewish women are not suspect to leave their ksumim out. V'tznu matzmahu, they put them away. Hanim tsoam be'ari kutim. Now if we find a kesem in a city where kutim live, remei matamei, the neshtu al kismayim, they're concerned that they're not going to know the halacha of putting away the ksumim, they leave the ksumim out. V'chamim, v'tam shal neshtu al kismayim, they're not concerned that they would not have left the custom out, and they were therefore put him away.